Welcome to The Ether. Today is Saturday, February 12th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Follow Orbital Command on Twitter using the link in the show notes to receive regular threads on Terra protocols and yield strategies, news, resources, and Twitter space discussions. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, we have the anarchist NFT and CeFi talking about the future of NFTs and finance. Let's take a listen.
Hello, hello. Hey, Julia Ullman here.
Hey, guys.
Hey, I'm going to post this here, pop it in also our Discord.
And what do you want me to call you, by the way, while we're chatting?
Oh, you can call me Psych. So I'm taking over the account for this space. Hello, hello.
And it's, wait, say that again, Psych?
Psych.
Psych, okay. All right, great.
So our previous collection, I never had a Twitter before, was Psychedelic Sloths. And people just started calling me Psych. So that's what I am now.
Cool.
All right.
Folks will sort of float in here in a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a few minutes here. Yeah, we need sort of a waiting room for there's a couple of features that Twitter Spaces needs. One of them is like a waiting room for 5 minutes to sort of get everyone in. And then the other one is we need like an AFK button or like where, you know, something shows up on your profile pic and people know that you're like not available to speak or something like that. Cause sometimes people start talking to you while you're in the audience and you're like, you know, at the grocery store or something, just listening.
Right. I mean, does Clubhouse have anything like that? I know that they really started with the audio rooms first.
I don't know. I haven't used it, but it seems like there's a few little features that would like make the Twitter Spaces work a little bit better.
Yeah. All right. And I'm also going to pin, we've got a contest going now, Super Bowl contest. Let me see how many spots we got left. But I thought, you know what, might as well pop this up here because, hey, if there's an opportunity to win some Luna, win an NFT, why not, right? Can everybody hear me? Give me a wave if you can.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, okay. One of my AirPods is like not working, so I just wanted to make sure. Jesus, this multitasking. Seppi, you do this all the time, and I honestly wonder how you are just like a master at absolutely everything.
Well, I've been doing a lot of things since I was a kid, so it's like, yeah, I'm sort of like I get around in terms of lots of different, I don't know, everything from creative projects, you know, to like just science-based things to, I don't know, whatever. I used to do a fair amount of artwork when I was smaller. And just all over the place. Yeah, you could ask me almost anything about anything. I guess I'll have some opinion of some kind.
You know what I love about that? I really truly believe that we should have like multiple loves in our life. So from your careers to your hobbies to your like relationship. Like, we should really just be excited and passionate about all these different areas of our life rather than, you know, just the one thing that, you know, one pillar that's carrying you.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to find things that you find like challenging and maybe do those things until you find that they're not, you know. So sometimes there are some things that you do like to be good at them enough to where you're competent for like work and, you know, or like art or whatever. And then there's other things that you do that you maybe do for a while it's challenging, and maybe you don't want to do it for a career necessarily, or you don't want to do it all the time. So it just depends on what you can get, you know, down the rabbit hole pretty deep on lots of different things that you want to do, I guess.
100%. To point on, I know that he's out with family right now, so he's popping in, but I'm just a little bit jealous. Like, we got to take a moment there and like take a look at his PFP, because we just we dropped another little sneak peek of a variation for the Cosmonaut Anarchist, and it looks so fucking sick, and I'm really jealous. He's got a really pretty helmet on right now with some like galactic shit happening.
This is who's now?
Deployden. He's
I'm looking at him now. I want to check it out here.
Rocking another variant of our Cosmonaut helmet there.
So I guess we could probably get started, huh?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Folks will kind of start strolling in whenever they feel like it with these things. Yeah, I was going to ask you a few things. First off, like, what was the vision behind the project? Are you like an actual anarchist, or do you just like the ethos of it, or do you like, what's your thing?
I think maybe a little bit of a combination of both of those things. So, I mean, I've never quite felt like I fit in. You know, I was never like the top in my class, or maybe for a period of time until I got bored. I found out like in my, when I was about 30 years old that I had ADHD that kind of, answered a lot of my questions, but I barely ever had like a 9-to-5 job. I've been an entrepreneur for over 10 years and had to kind of make my way in life because I never quite felt like I fit in, and I never quite felt like I belonged where everybody else was just going with the norm and with, you know, whatever it is that like the you know, path that their parents wanted to put them on or society wanted to put them on. So I think within also like the entrepreneurship, crypto, NFT space, I believe that a lot of us have like a streak of that kind of anarchist persona where we, you know, were attracted to this space of where it's, you know, disruptive within art and within finance. And I don't want to say completely anti-government, but definitely there's this culture and this group of people that are against what we've become accustomed to when it comes to the way the government manages finances and it, you know, it goes against what we've seen as, you know, something that's for the people. So there's all these different things when it comes to anarchy. And I mean, if we've looked at any of the protests over the last few years, and we're integrating those things within our collection too, some symbols of protest and demonstrations. And we want to give tribute to those things. But along the same lines too, as I was kind of also building up these characters.
But do you look at it like from the angle of maybe like that there's an element of that that is sort of naturally like, so I guess you could go dystopian in two directions. You could go dystopian as in like some kind of totalitarian regime, right? Like a North Korean dystopia. And then you can go to dystopian as in like just absolute chaos, no like control structures whatsoever. And then there's like, so, you know, so where, like artistically speaking, like where do you sort of like think
that's
that
a good question
you fall so, in like in that spectrum, I guess.
When I think of anarchy, like I don't think of people who are necessarily always violent or about destruction in general without any like you know, focus or agenda or anything like that. I really think that, you know, explorers are anarchists in their own way. you know, that they have to like look beyond what's already been discovered and already been done and already been said to kind of, you know, figure out what's beyond that boundary. I think that like between the three characters, there's also this invisible man character who isn't looking for attention to draw attention. He's working in the background of like, you know, secrets of the revolution and, you know, working with these like agreements and you know, between different groups of people and trying to find like, you know, those components that will unite people with within like their ethos and their vision of what, you know, financial freedom and autonomy for all means, right? Where it's not government that has the power, but the people have the power. So I don't think it necessarily needs to go into this chaos, although that's an, you know, an element when we have revolution as well.
Because like I think of, for example, have you seen the TV show The Expanse?
I haven't.
Like,
no.
Do you like that? So anyway, it's like a sci-fi with like, you know, a bunch of people in space and whatnot. And it just so happens that like the main like characters in it are these spacefaring, you know, like people. And but they tend to stay unaligned with any one sort of like political faction, so to speak. And they're sort of like jumping between them, maybe. And they're sort of like freedom fighters in a sense. But, you know, their general concept is like goodwill, meaning like they're essentially save everybody. But the they're doing so without like getting underneath a banner of one particular group. Does that make sense? Like they're
yes, that actually makes a lot more sense to me. So this is also why within our Discord, you can actually pick a role. So we have one of three roles. We have the visionaries, the altruists, and the crusaders. And then we have the three characters. So I really, you know, even when I had my other collection of like psychedelic sloths, I really approached it in a way that was wholesome. It wasn't like, oh, drug sloths, you know, it was like, let's look at like, this is like a healing modality rather than, you know, the party sort of perspective. And I think also with anarchists, I really do want to approach it in a wholesome way in what you're saying, you know, freedom fighters, intellectuals, artists, you know, I that's the idea I have behind it. And also why I couldn't stop with just one character and why we have three, because within this, even if we share similar values and ethos, we're not all the same. You know, and there might be different sort of banners that we might align under, but ultimately being within this crypto space, having this belief that the people know what's good for them and we don't need to give up our own power and autonomy to a bigger government to determine what is best for us. Because I think over time, and like my family comes from communist Romania, you know, over time we've seen when the government has so much power and influence and corporations have so much power and influence, how it doesn't end up well for like the regular common man and women.
Got it. How big is your, you know, team as far as NFTs and such? How many people are involved with the art and like dealing with your website,
things like that? So I created our website. I'm a person that dabbles in quite a few different things. I've created the concept of the art as well. So I've worked with an artist to do that. So we do have an artist that we contracted, but it's my vision when it comes to the art. We've got Meta May, who's our community Discord queen. She is incredible, very, very organized. She is my brain when it comes to bringing all those things together, and she's been remarkable in nurturing our community. She also worked with me on a past project, so we really, really jived, and I saw that we had a, you know, similar vision in the ways that we really wanted to bring up our community and create a culture. We have Deploidon, who is our brain when it comes to the utility, the finance component of this, and also dev. I gotta say, you know, having been, you know, this is the second round for me. That team culture is so, so important in making sure that, you've got, you know, you've got flow from the beginning of the project, like all the way through, because you can have people that are super competent in their role. And if you aren't able to, you know, be a team that, it, you know, has flow, it could be a very, very different experience. So I'm very, very lucky to have them. I've really like, I've struck, yeah, a lot of good luck with this team.
Like, what's the math behind, like, in your particular project? And, you know, I'm just sort of like learning about the regenerative NFT like space a little bit, but what's the math as far as like how many different varieties of, or like how many versions of characters you have, and then maybe like how many subversions, and then do you then go and like create more like sub content within each of those characters, or is that unique forever and then you kind of create a new character? Like, what's the theory there how you make characters and whatnot?
So the way, like, technically how generative art happens, is that what you mean? Or just specifically, like, our character model?
Specifically for your project, like, what kind of
so we have three characters,
or whatever, do you think you're going to do?
Yeah. So we have three characters. We've got our cosmonaut. We've got our revivalist, which is, like, has the gas mask on it. And we also have the invisible man. So it's three characters. All of them have this like suave suit. Within the suit, there's different things, whether it's a pin or some jewelry or the tie or the bow tie. There's different symbols. It could be either of like revolution, like the anarchist, the extinction symbol, or it could be, you know, the logos of different crypto within the Cosmos family. So we have these things really integrated within that. So they all have like a suit, and then different sort of head combinations. I think altogether we have about like 13 different layers. We've got a lot of variety within the collection. And we just really wanted to bring our A game. And not only that, again, you know, within this community, not everybody is the same. So we wanted to be united, but also give people that opportunity to find something that they, you know, deeply connected with if there was these different variations with it. Altogether, our collection is 4,444 anarchists. Once we launch that, our next collection is going to be, we call them Renegades. So that's, we're not going to spill too many details on that. Another thing I want to be careful about when I talk about the roadmap, and it's very, we've been very particular about how we're saying this, because a lot of collections are being very cavalier in saying that they are like yield producing or there's going to be, you know, rewards. Our primary objective is to form the DAO right after we mint the full collection. And as we know, within the Terra Cosmos community, like, we have so many different protocols that we can stake with. And 10% of Mint is going to be going towards the DAO. And the DAO, our community or holders, are then going to vote on where it is that we're going to be investing those funds. And we're going to be releasing more details of that. But I mean, at this point, too, it's also a case of we've got so many different options and different protocols that are being released as well, that it'll be exciting to see really where our community decides to do that.
Yeah, I haven't completely figured on this utility concept of NFTs and whether it's always really necessary too. It's almost like you can do it if you want to, but at the same time, I think sometimes just the art speaks for itself, and that's that, right? Like, you don't necessarily buy some people buy a painting, for example, to sell it at some point for, you know, as an investment. But most people aren't using like a painting as a yield bearing instrument necessarily. Although NFTs could be really like a membership card, they could be, you know, utility if you want them to have it. But I don't know
that's a great question, though.
I don't know that it's necessary to have it, but
I need to combat that a little bit. And the reason being is a Mona Lisa doesn't inherently have that ability, and it's not part of an ecosystem where you can,
of course,
do that. I mean, like, okay, we could just release art. Like, that's fine too. Personally, I just find it so interesting to be part of this community and this network And obviously, we're looking at this as also a startup, so we need to reserve funds to keep things going, right? To be able to scale as a team, to automate certain components. So that's a big part of, you know, what we're wanting to do also with the Mint revenue component. But we like, it's so cool. Like, we're very passionate about this ecosystem.
Yeah, no, what I was saying is it's not something like that every NFT platform has to do.
No,
in order
absolutely.
To feel like if they just simply want to focus purely on art, that's okay too, is what I'm getting at. Like, you could go with any direction, you know, that the group decides, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing too, maybe the difference between like a larger generative project versus artists that have the smaller, like one of one collections, right? Because those are very, you know, unique and rare collection. So I've seen very much of that within the, you know, smaller artist community. I think the benefit when you do have something that's a larger generative collection is you do have those funds, right? So it's a lot easier to take a portion of that and to be able to put it towards some of these protocols, because you're going to get, you know, enough out of that for it to, you know, count for something. But I'd be really interested. I mean, you've been in this space for quite some time. Like, what's your history, I guess, first within the crypto community and sort of what you've witnessed within the NFT community?
So the first like NFT I have played with is, I think Hooligan sent me one from Terrans. And I like literally that was like yesterday. Like, so that's the first NFT I've ever owned, you know, and like first time I've interacted with simply like just like, how do I, you know, get my wallet to show the address for that particular NFT project and kind of get that added? And then how do I then go and actually view the NFT that I have in that wallet? I sort of figured that out. And then, you know, how to get to, in that case, I think it was on Talos, I think, and getting over there and like actually downloading the image and such, and then kind of going through that process. So this is sort of the first sort of time like I did that. But at the same time, it's like I haven't figured out, okay, wait a minute. Like, I kind of had a tweet about this, like concepts, like, okay, I've sort of used this Fallout character, you know, GIF, you know, as sort of like my little icon. And of course, it's not unique to me. It's like it's a video game character, literally. And I've just used it for so many years that, you know, on other platforms and whatnot, people just sort of know who I am based on the fact that I use that. So at the same time, it's not unique. It would be kind of cool doing something unique. So Gavert ended up making me this like icon that I have now for my character, where he changed up the background. He put a, like a little Luna logo on my, like, you know, suit or whatever, which is funny. So, you know, but, you know, it's at the same time, it's like, well, you know, why not post some NFTs on my little avatar and what have you, and, you know, do that. And so I've been deciding to do that. But at the same time, it's like, you know, if you start, like, I don't know, it, to some extent, it sort of like identifies you as a specific tribe if you want to be identified as such. Or do you know, some people are like swapping their NFTs for their PFPs, their profile pics, and then other people like don't. And some people don't do NFTs at all for that. So that, or some people have been on Twitter long enough, like before NFTs, they feel like it's OG status to not use an NFT as their profile pic. So I don't know. I'm not sure where I fall in this camp, but that's sort of like my history of NFTs, like started like yesterday. So like, I'm sort of talking to you as a total like NFT newbie, as far as like ownership and even using the platform. But like for your project in particular, like where can people go to check it out? Like, which platforms are you on and how do you decide that and all that?
Yeah. So if you're here, by the way, if you want to talk about sort of your perspective on NFTs and sort of your journey, I mean, we're two people here talking about ours, but I really would be interested too on, you know, exactly what you said, like, you know, this NFT kind of becomes your avatar and how you identify with the tribe. I'd really be interested to hear other people's sort of take on what they've experienced so far. But yeah, I mean, if you click by the way, we've got a contest at the top. I don't know how many spots we got left. I'm going to just really quickly check in our Discord. But we are holding an NFT, a Super Bowl pool. Let me just check here. We've got like 40 spots left. So a little over half are gone. So click over the pinned tweet at the top and you can still participate. We've got 4 Luna prizes plus also an NFT anarchist that's going to be airdropped on Mint Day for a winner. But I digress. So yeah, if you hit my icon there, you know, we've stayed away from Instagram. Our whole team is within Discord and Twitter. We've been also, you know, really active in Spaces. So definitely drop in if you do see us within, you know, one of the Spaces. But this has become our community, and we feel like the Twitter, Discord platforms are where I think we have the most prevalent NFT and crypto community. Within the Discord too, you can hit sneak peeks, and we've got a few different sneak peeks that we've dropped there. We're being a little bit more quiet about how much we're releasing over time. Within the next week or so, we're going to have our mint date, very likely have our mint date and a few other things finalized. We'll be able to release when we're minting, likely, you know, early next month, sometime in March. So I'll keep everybody posted. But yeah, I mean, that's where we are.
What I meant to say is, which platform do people go to acquire mint? NFTs? Yeah, or mint, okay. or even to just go buy them if they're on the market already.
They're not. So we haven't released our collection yet. Right now, we're just in the community growing, building phase. Our mint date is going to be, our launch date is going to be likely like mid to early March is what we're aiming for. So within the next week, we're going to release that. As to where we're going to be minting, I wish I could say, but within the next week, we're finalizing a few different things. There's potentially a partnership in the works as well. So I'm excited to talk about those things, but I don't want to have those details released until we've got it, you know, solid down. Sorry about the alarms in the back there.
Oh yeah, no problem. Okay. So yeah, I think I get it. Yeah. So you've got some like progress to make, and so you're right now just trying to develop like enthusiasm for the, your project and kind of getting people on it on the radar, basically.
Yeah, and I mean that's the thing too is and I had some people actually message me. I've got some things here. So our whitelist is still open. We've got 1,500 whitelist spots or pre-sale spots. And there's a few ways to go about that. You can participate in some contests. We also have some other collaborations with other collections too. I see that we've got the Hungry Wolves here. We did a collab with them and we had a few whitelist spots reserved through them. Also just through like participating in the Discord or, you know, inviting people, that's how people can get within the whitelist as well. So it's, I would just say, you know, if you want to get one of those pre-sale spots, then, you know, just hit the notification button so that you can see when we do post something. We're really wanting to make it very accessible for people as well, which is why we're providing a whole bunch of different ways for people to participate and also get a whitelist spot. But this phase here, like, here's the thing is, like, we're not coming into this market with, like, you know, massive marketing budget and being like, you'll get a Lambo or a Tesla. Like, no, we're building this community very intentionally, through connection, through collaborations, you know, doing it by actually really getting to know people rather than, you know, just throwing like a whole bunch of like flashy things at them. You know, our collection is fucking awesome. We're really proud of it. Our team is amazing. We have a good roadmap to sustain the project over time, not just to like, you know, pump it up and then it just like fades into the background. This is also our second collection, so we're not going anywhere. We intend to be here for a very, very long time and we're passionate about it. You know, ride or die kind of deal.
How do you choose as a project, like what platform to release on? Because I think there's several obviously on you know, on Terra. Like the gang walked me through like Random Earth for a little bit, the Luna Bulls folks did. And then like I played on Talus for a little bit. And then I interviewed the Luart folks and their platform is kind of shaping up pretty nicely. Do you have any like comments or thoughts on like what platforms you like and where do you like?
Yeah.
What are the reasons why you would like maybe choose one versus the other?
So, I mean, looking at the different platforms, I mean, Random Earth is a great platform. I feel like at this point they may have extended themselves a little far, and I don't know if they have the infrastructure as a team to handle things. I know that they've had a few issues with some collections, posting some fake numbers and like potentially some rug pulls, which is concerning. I feel a little bit concerned when somebody's like building a mile wide and a foot deep, you know, like it's great that you're growing so rapidly. I'm really proud of like what it is that what's happening and, you know, within the Terra Luna NFT community, but there were a couple of things there that were concerning to me, with between the different ones. You know, we've really actually been big fans of LuArt. As they've launched, we've had conversations with their team too. And, you know, they have a lot of like checks that they put into place, when it comes to launching with them. And for example, like they'll do an analysis and be like, okay, like you say that you're able to sell this many NFTs, like, do you have the community to back it up? Do you have, you know, the art, the utility, you know, or is this an arbitrary number that you just kind of pulled up and you're saying you're going to mint like X number of NFTs? So I really, really do like the way the team approach, you know, the vetting process. So we've been in talks with them and we'll see where that ends up. But I would say on our team, we're big fans of LuArt, and I hope that's where we're going to be able to launch, and we'll see over the next little bit. We'll release an announcement one way or another within the next week or two at the most.
How do you, I've heard of the sort of NFT rug pull culture or whatever you want to call it, I guess. How do these rug pulls in NFT space, like, what do they look like in terms of like in action? And how do people sort of avoid those from the perspective of like, in other words, how do you spot something nefarious is going on? And how does that even play out? Like, how does one lose money in an NFT rug pull exactly?
Right.
Can you describe that?
I think that they're getting very good, and I think it's becoming very nuanced. Another thing too is, you know, people talk about whether a team is doxxed or not. We're like kind of partially doxxed. We're not like a super public figures, but there's teams that have been fully doxxed and still rugged. It becomes concerning, I think, when you ask some very simple questions and the team is not willing to answer them. There's been also situations where, you know, you look at a Discord and the numbers are fake, or you could see that it looks like it's bot. You know, I think also too, there's a part of me personally that when I see those collections that have this massive marketing budget, it's either they have made a lot of money on a past project, which they should be. Like if you launched another successful project, unless it was a rug pull, like you would say it, like this is part of our portfolio essentially, right? Or you've got an investor, somebody with like really deep pockets. And if it's like, oh, we're going to be on, you know, Times Square billboard, and oh, somebody's going to win a car, or those are kind of, to me personally, those are a little bit concerning. It doesn't mean that it's going to be a rug pull, but I feel like when something is just hyper glamorized, it's almost being used as a tool to distract people from asking like the really grassroots question.
So I guess what I meant to say is like a rug pull in technicality works how I create an NFT project, and then like I buy a bunch of pieces for myself using sort of a wallet, and then I kind of pump up the prices. Then other people come in and buy some, but all of that, the price action was sort of fake. Does that
actually manipulate it? Maybe like as it's minting, you know, use some of the funds and just go back and like, you know, buy up some of their own NFTs. But generally speaking, what they'll do is they'll launch a collection and through the really hype it up, and also the utility and the roadmap. Like, maybe some people are satisfied just buying an NFT, but right now these days, generally you want an NFT with some kind of a utility, unless it's a smaller artist collection with a very limited rare numbers within it. But typically people are looking for something that has some sort of utility, whether it's going to be, you know, yield bearing, whether it's a gaming NFT, where, you know, any of these other kinds of things, because then it really is just a JPEG sitting in your wallet, right? But they'll pump up this roadmap and be very enthusiastic about it, you know, put a lot into marketing the project, sell out a collection, let's say a 5-10,000, and then they'll delete like the Discord, they'll delete the TikTok, or not TikTok, the Twitter account. Sometimes they even will mint out, and this happens more on Ethereum, where you have like a placeholder within your wallet until a certain number gets minted out or certain days pass, and then your NFT is revealed. Sometimes they would just do that, and actually not even, you know, people would not even get the NFT at all. It would just stay on that like placeholder, like GIF or image. It was like completely entirely fake. So these things do happen, and I wish I could tell people sort of a for sure formula on, you know, making sure that something is not
But they get what you're saying is they can be pretty convincing. So
they can be convincing, and the team could be doxed or undoxed. You know, I think this is also why it's important to be part of the community and see whether the founders are involved, see whether like how they're keeping their commitments, how they're showing up for their community. Are they just a name, or do they go into spaces? Do you hear a voice? Or are they just really, really like super anonymous? Yeah, I would say just stuff like that. Me personally, I just get a little bit spooked when something has like mega marketing behind it, because it seems like to be the thing that kind of like distracts people from possibly, you know, the actual founders and the art speaking for itself. And they're just, you know, throwing really big cash prizes. But again, that in itself doesn't really tell
that's,
people for
that's
sure.
That's kind
either.
Of the trick. But that was what I was saying before, too. Like, some of the trick behind the utility angle is, like, if you can't clearly prove, say, for example, that something's going to have some kind of future utility, then you're essentially securitizing a, like, future earning, and it's almost like you'd want to have some proof if you're buying that somehow is going to be useful. And that's the tricky part. And at least, like, if I'm going out to buy a JPEG, at least I know what I'm paying for a JPEG, right? Like, even if
you're, I would say at the very least, like, enjoy, yeah, at least like what it is you're buying on artistic.
Yeah, if I like it on
the extra.
That's how I think of, like, when I go out and buy art. Like, I don't necessarily equate, you know, the to some extent, like, you think you can sell at some point in the future, but generally you know you might just buy something to own it, and that's the end of it. And you know, I think that's, as long as you're, whatever you're buying, as long as you're happy with what you're paying for it and you like to own it, and I think that's perfectly fine. You know, there's not a reason to worry about it. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, so they'll kind of trump up like a huge concept, you know, oh, we're going to have a video game, we're going to have this, we're going to have that, and then have this big roadmap, get you all excited about how useful your NFT is going to be in this like 3D realm or whatever, and then nothing materializes, and now you own a JPEG. But that's not the bill of goods you were sold. That's basically how this plays out.
Yeah, I can. And I mean, but here's the thing too, is like there is risk towards it, but there is a potential for quite a bit of reward too. And the use cases of NFTs are so expansive and very exciting. So when a collection comes up and they say that they're going to be a gaming NFT, which is something that we have planned in the future as well, but that takes a lot more funds to be able to fund that sort of thing. So especially if somebody's going to come in and say that these are going to be gaming NFTs, there's a lot that happens there. But even within gaming, you know, you're talking about what was the game? What's the game with your your avatar here?
Oh, this is Fallout, you mean?
Fallout. Fuck, yeah. Fallout. Okay, I was thinking like BioShock, but I was like, no, Fallout. So the use case of NFTs within these gaming worlds, it's so remarkable and so exciting. And it's a perfect application, right? So to have this collection and be able to fundraise for this game and for these founders to be able to do this in a really grassroots way, even potentially like have the collection 10,000 or whatever pieces, and then also do like an IGO, you know, Starterra is really doing great in supporting these founders and being able to do these kinds of projects. Like, that's really exciting to buy a JPEG, but for it to be part of this bigger project and vision, right? So for those collections that actually do follow through and those founders that do follow through, I think that there's just remarkable potential. And there's a lot of excitement to be part of that, that those kind of founding members who essentially have like a share of this game that could just, you know, blow up. Look at like Axie Infinity as well, right? Like that's, I don't know what the stats are for that, but that online game has taken over. I think they've got, I think it's one of the like biggest online platforms for gaming, if not the biggest, out of like even combining so many different other games that you're, you know, you're familiar with, like Fallout and all these other ones. So
yeah, the tricky thing that in gaming though, in the history of gaming, like just like over the internet, there were lots and lots, and I can't remember off the top of my head what their names are because, you know, they're forgettable, but there were lots of games that were promised and everyone got excited, and, you know, they'd have really great sort of like art and ideas and, you know, claim to be the next big whatever. And then ended up being like vaporware because they didn't have the either the technical capability or the funds or whatever. So it gets really tricky. You know, like Star Atlas is doing this exact thing. They're using NFTs as a way to, like, you know, they're like pre-selling video game assets like spaceships and whatnot, skins and things like that. And it represents an interesting funding model. But the problem is there have been a lot of games, even from big gaming houses, that honestly were not very good. And had you been an investor in them, because there's a lot of games you play like on the hype, you grab it and you think it's going to be amazing. It's not as good as you know, that you thought it would be, or maybe like they under deliver, over promise sort of thing. But I think the problem is a lot of people are going to be thinking, well, like this next thing I'm investing in is the next Axie Infinity or whatever, and probably only a small fraction of those will actually execute. So, and it's really hard for the average person to research teams and everything really well. So I think the organically grown sort of NFT communities, at least, you know, you share a vibe, you know, but like the gaming side is actually trickier because to me, in that context, as opposed to using the NFT as some kind of a funding source, because you can guarantee that there will be enough rug pulls in that arena that people will be burned so many times that that becomes a non-viable way to sort of raise funds. I think what will end up happening is the gaming space is going to be something a little bit different, where eventually people are going to be like, I'm not buying anything from you until you've like proven you can build some games. And then if it's a proven builder, then like their preemptive NFTs might become more of an investment vehicle or something like that. That's kind of like my take on how that industry is probably going to play out, just from my long history of like watching the gaming industry specifically. Yeah. So I think,
I agree.
The NFT gaming connection is there. It's just like the specific utilities and all need to be ironed out, and that space needs to mature for sure.
100%. I mean, that's also why, you know, even though we have a concept in mind, we know that we're not ready to build that, right? Having something like the Anarchist and something that is, you know, based off of a DAO and then potentially yield bearing. Again, I'm using these terms because you have to be careful. But that is something that we can implement relatively easily than something like a gaming a game that's like built off of this, you know, NFTs and all that. Another thing too is what I really do see is we're moving so rapidly that I could very potentially see these collections and the founders partnering up or being bought out by other big gaming companies, right? Because when you have these big gaming companies, like the bigger you are, the more difficult it is for you to stay up to date with something and innovate, which is why you have organizations like, you know, Microsoft and Apple and Amazon, where they actually buy up smaller ones, right? Because it's easier for them to just buy up that technology, buy up that culture, buy up that community, than for them to internally develop and nurture it from the ground up, right? Because essentially then somebody else is building up the momentum, you see really where there's the most, you know, traction, and then you just really take advantage of the best opportunity. So I think really that's how these companies are going to, because they don't really get the culture, right? They need to kind of get a shoe-in by partnering with maybe one of the little guys. So I do think that there's going to be some partnerships and collaborations there between some of the smaller founders and collections within the NFT space, and then these bigger corporations that are going to say, okay, rather than us reinventing the wheel or trying to look like one of the cool guys, why don't we just like find out who's really dominating in the space and basically just, you know, partner with them. I think that's honestly the best way to go about it.
This is exactly what happened with Blizzard, Activision recently, and then before that, like Minecraft too, which were pretty sizable cultures, essentially, that got pulled into Microsoft, I guess.
Exactly. And I mean, I'm okay with that. I feel like we are the ones who are now the front runners, and we're creating the trends. And I'm really excited about that. And for us to get to a point where we can get the attention of some of these bigger corporations and negotiate certain terms, I think that that could really work to our advantage if we do it in a really smart way. So that's kind of what I envision when I envision, okay, if let's say if we were to release a gaming collection with, you know, X amount of NFTs, let's say 10,000, 20,000, whatever. And then over time, rather than releasing the game, just continue down the NFT front where you release, you know, the weapons, you airdrop the weapons, you airdrop the different like variations of things within the collection. You have certain seasons within that collection too, where you release different parts. Like, I think it's really interesting what even Galactic Punks is doing. They went from like, you know, the Galactic Punks to now the grids, and kind of integrating these components within the metaverse. And now you have these NFTs on the blockchain. How are you going to integrate that within also this whole ecosystem of virtual reality and gaming? You know, those are things that I think that you could then piece together and kind of buy yourself time while you, you know, you do the fundraising and negotiate the partnerships, because it does take 2-3 years, like at least to develop like a good game with where all those pieces are cohesively working together.
Yeah. The NFT metaverse story, you know, you could think about that identity being some mixture of like your profile pic. One thought I had was, you know, it's almost like you or your tribe would have like a flag or a symbol, like a country that you would like display on your arm or something like that when you're in a 3D space, or maybe like a uniform that identifies that group, sort of like what you're doing with anarchists, but also like to maybe some design elements that you could import, like for example, into a game like Star Atlas, where you need to sort of customize the appearance of your spaceship or something. And like there are some, in other words, there's like almost like a package of graphical assets that comes with your NFT for these spaces, as opposed to simply just your profile pic. It's like you see this sort of like concept when you buy, well, I don't know, there's like graphical packages you can buy in different video games now, right? Where, you know, your clothing and everything's different and that kind of thing. And they use that as a way to sort of like sell extra shit in video games. But maybe that becomes something that somehow
you know, you're creating like a visual identity for more than one video game until like games themselves have like a standardization of how you import those kinds of things.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, being built on the Cosmos network, that interoperability is so key as well. So I think that it's also why we're so excited to be on this network, is that whether it's Anarchist or Future Collection, we're going to be able to have the capacity to do those things as this whole network matures and more tech is developed. We've got Tim up here. Hi, Tim. Welcome. Did you want to add something to what we've discussed so far?
I did, and I don't want to take away from Anarchists at all. I know that Seffy has talked a couple times about Star Atlas, and I'm in it. One of the cool things that I think, just kind of piggybacking off of what you said earlier, which is, you know, you need the NFTs to be useful for something. One of the things that I like about Star Atlas, and I wonder if, you know, is an idea or a thought here, is that you're staking and you're earning the rewards with the ships that you buy. And that's kind of a really cool element, is that it's basically involving DeFi into NFTs. And that intersection is what has really attracted me to the space. And that's just what I wanted to add or ask if that's in the works.
I mean, personally, for the Anarchists, we're looking at different protocols that our DAO is going to be investing in. But that being said, too, and this is also why I brought up like Galactic Punks, and they've also got the, you know, Galactic Grids now, and we're trying to see like how is that going to incorporate within more of like a metaverse setting. All of that, like all of these things are possible, right? We've got more things down the line that we do have planned, but what I've personally found also, this being the second collection, we first launched on Solana, and Solana was a bit of a clusterfuck if anybody's kind of dealt with Solana, and I don't want to overpromise things. You know, what I would like is for us to follow through on what it is that we set on our roadmap, and to show up for community, accomplish those milestones, and then be able to, you know, have the capacity to do future things as well. So I would rather say less and do more, but I'm also excited about all the possibilities. And I would love to see our characters within some sort of a metaverse setting, with also, you know, looking at like, you know, land and, you know, buying up things like that. So I think that there's so much that we can do, and I'm so excited about it. As a community, as, you know, founders, I think I really just want us to focus on banking the wins that we have directly in front of us, and then looking at, even just with our community and our DAO, sort of voting what direction that we take. Personally, also as a founder, I don't want that pressure to decide everything for the collection either. I know that I have one idea about this, and we've got Meta May who's up here, we got Deployed On. You know, between our team, we've got a lot of ideas. But we are members of this community and members of the DAO, and we are going to contribute our ideas, but we also want others to be able to put up their suggestions, because the space evolves so quickly and there's so much knowledge and wisdom. It'd be great to also lean on our community to see what direction they want to take it.
I agree, and I think Seffy would be the right guy to help you with the DeFi side.
Hey, I'm all about collaboration. We're here for it. We're here for it, you know? I'm definitely, there's a lot of people in this room that are much smarter than me on this kind of stuff. So I'll come up with all the digital art craziness, and thanks all for partnering with my vision on that front. And I'm more than happy to lean into the strengths that other people have in this room. So I'm all for it. We've got a lot that we can do together, and we can accomplish so much more if we lean into each other's knowledge rather than just each trying to be an island to ourselves.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you for letting me share.
Hey, I've got a question. What is your take on Solana versus Terra as far as... Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm getting a phone call, so it keeps like bumping me. What's your take on...
So popular. We're going to call you Mr. Hollywood.
What's
now.
Your take on Solana versus Terra regarding like, you know... Like, I don't know, just your sense of like the NFT space and deploying projects and just the user experience? Like, do you feel like it's better or worse? Like,
so, I mean, we initially started on Solana. We made the transition over to Terra. I can't say I'm a huge fan. We, like, every problem that we could have encountered, we did. What I think Solana did really well, one, I think that there was a massive gap within the market because of what was happening with ETH and gas fees, right? And you just simply can't tell people, like, well, fuck you, you know, sorry, it's, you know, too expensive for you, right? There's a market there that needed to be, you know, served. And then you had other blockchains and NFT communities pop up, whether it was Cardano or Solana. And I think Solana really dominated, one, from their marketing, you know, they did really well in that regard of capturing that market. The thing is that marketing is one thing, but you need to be robust enough and have the infrastructure to be able to support the massive growth that you just worked so hard to capture, right? And I think that's where Solana has tripped over itself. It's not decentralized. They've gone down multiple times. There's been just a lot of controversy on, like, how the team sort of handled things, not disclosing certain things, not being transparent enough. And personally, we just, like, we worked up and timed everything perfectly with the marketing. Then, like, the platform went down. On the side of, like, DApp, it's just not robust enough. You've got, like, one candy machine type thing. And if it gets updated and there's, like, a kink in it, now everybody's project is fucked until we kind of, like, troubleshoot it collectively and figure out what's going on. We were going to be doing staking through a platform called Honey DeFi, which is specifically on Solana. And a few days before we closed out our mint to be able to do that, they actually completely changed their whole infrastructure. So then from the staking side, here's this one thing that we planned on. And then it was, like, you know, not possible. Whereas on the Terra network, I think that they've been pretty hush-hush until recently with their marketing, but they're super robust. It's super robust on the tech side. There's so many different protocols. There's so many different things that you can do. So on that side of things, I feel a lot more confident. Diplodin was the one who actually introduced us to the Terra Luna network and NFT community, and I'm really glad that he did. Things have flowed so easily for us. I can't even explain it. Like, you know, when you just, like, try to make a relationship work, but you're just butting heads all the fucking time. That was Solana. I was like, I want to love you. I want to love you, but why do you hurt me so bad? And then coming over to Terra Luna, it's like everything was easy. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. From the dynamic within our team to, you know, just a couple spaces we dropped into. And then these, like, fantastic connections were made with, I would say, like, very little effort in comparison. Luart has been amazing. We'll see what comes of that. But it's been, like, super exciting just being in this space. And also, like, when it comes to this utility, we're like, where are we going to stake? Like, there's so many possibilities of to what we're going to do. We have so many options. Whereas before we had, like, kind of one option that was popular in the space. And then when they kind of, like, shit the bed, and then now we don't have any, right, with Sol. So that's what I'm excited. Those are good problems to have when we have actually so many options as to how we're going to implement this utility component for our community. So yeah, I have to say I'm definitely a much bigger fan. Meta May is here. I would love to hear her take on it because she was actually with me on the last project as our community manager, and she was, like, my rock during the whole thing and all the breakdowns and, you know, all that. So she knows what we experienced last time, and she has an intimate understanding of both of these now that she's also with us on this project. So what's your take on this?
Hey there, everyone. Yeah, it's Meta May. I have to say, like, the only good thing about the previous project, or only good things, was being able to work with Psych. And also the artwork and, like, creative aspect of it in our community. I feel like Solana just posed, like, so many issues that came up. And in comparison, like, now working on the Terra blockchain, it's been too easy almost. Like, it almost feels like I'm being lazy in comparison. Where last time, I remember we were killing ourselves so many things were going wrong, and if something could fail, it would, and the network would go down, and just too many issues. And I also feel like it's been so crowded with projects and all these variations of the same type of images, where like if we come into the Terra blockchain, there's so much potential that hasn't been done yet. We just haven't even scratched the surface of introducing NFTs onto this blockchain. And I also feel like I've definitely noticed that people take it more seriously. The developers are more just more serious and more dedicated to actually building out things that have a long-term vision. And yes, in comparison, it's been a hell of a lot easier. As Psych knows, like with Solana, we had a lot of like breakdowns and a lot of issues and the team, but this time it's just been so easy. So easy in comparison. And yeah, deployed and introduced us to the Terra blockchain, and I've learned so much. I feel like there's still so much to learn. It's definitely been a learning curve. And it will be, I think, for people coming over from Solana for sure. But you know what? Even when we started in Solana, that was its own learning curve in itself. So I think that would happen no matter what blockchain you choose at the end of the day. But yes, Team Terra all the way for sure.
Well, you are going to get you're going to get a lot of, I think, good opportunities from the angle of the DAO building component, because Terra has the mix of some of the better yield strategies, number one. Number two, the primary asset of Terra Luna is, you know, among the best in the world. And then, so you have those two things going already. And then the third thing is, like was mentioned, the Cosmos angle and the ability to bring in more of the yield-bearing bonded assets from externally provides you with maybe different like price exposure with yield as well. And you can build all sorts of neat, I guess, low risk platforms that are built on that. And that's what, you know, we've been kind of working on and talking about. I had Trevor was on with me on the phone like for like almost an hour yesterday. He was trying to they're figuring out their DAO for their tickets platform and sort of giving them ideas. But there really are going to be pretty good places to park DAO money before too long, in terms of you know, platforms where like automated trading happens for you and earns more yield perhaps than you would otherwise, or yield redirection strategies and whatnot. So, and then you have on top of that, you have like Prism, which, you know, makes it possible in theory to, like, in the background for an NFT or for your project, you could have like staked Y Luna or something like that, generating yield. So there's all sorts of interesting ways to build out with these primitives. And the problem that I would see on Solana, besides the fact that its token's inflationary and therefore like will always be like dealing with that problem, is that you also don't have native UST on it on top of that. And then on top of that, you don't have all the capabilities of the Cosmos that you can just connect directly in the near future. All of those pieces of the are going to really play a huge role, I think, in making the Terra Cosmos sort of like combo ecosystem of all these different platforms are really going to explode, I think, over the next year or two. And the catalysts for NFTs and the ability to build sort of the utility-based NFTs are quite substantial. I mean, it's not inconsequential that like gaming platforms are, you know, there's several sort of gaming platforms and then some large VCs that have announced actual gaming elements that they're building brand new, like Hashed and some of the others. All that is because these puzzle pieces make it like possible to build more interesting shit on Terra. And I think the NFT space will indirectly benefit from that as well, both the individual NFT projects, but also the NFT platforms themselves, like the Random Earths, the LuArts and whatnot, are going to have some interesting like ways of incorporating those DeFi elements, like we were talking about. Should be pretty fun.
Exactly. 100%. And that's the thing too, is like, you know, we launched on Solana with those same intentions, right? And we were extremely disappointed when you know, the things with the network and dev happened, and then also those partnerships where it left us in a position where, honestly, like, I was gutted, because here's the community that we built, and we're like, these are the things that we promised, which is also why we are bringing over. We actually had to create an app for them to validate their wallet. We've reserved a number of anarchists for our previous holders of our last collection that didn't get to hit those milestones on the roadmap, because we made a promise. As founders too, like, it's our responsibility to follow through on that, right? And because we didn't have that confidence on Solana, we're like, okay, like, we're here to stay. So how are we going to resolve this? Which is why we're bringing our Solana community. We're taking the time to educate them. We posted videos. We've, you know, brought them over to the new collection, because we're like, look, we don't feel confident to continue on this blockchain, because these are the things that we want to do. And if we don't see this, you know, network having the capacity to allow us to fulfill our promises to you, then we can't wholeheartedly promote it, right? We just can't, which is why we've taken the time to research. We're relaunching on this other network. We're bringing you over with us, like, you're strapping you to our back, and we're going to bring you over. So that we can, one, have you part of this amazing new networking community. We can have you part of this roadmap where we're going to accomplish the things that we set out to accomplish. And also the network, the blockchain, the dApps, like, all the protocols, everything is robust enough to be able to fulfill the commitments that us as founders we've had. And that was really important to us. And also moving forward, as we have also other collections in mind and other seasons, even just within the anarchist, we need to feel confident about that. You know, if it was just a money grab, then we wouldn't be intentionally thinking even just about what blockchain to use, because that wouldn't really matter, right? There's a community on each one that would buy regardless. But if we're thinking long term as to the different utilities that we'll have access to, having something that, like UST, that's, you know, a stable coin, all these things really come into play when it gets into thinking how we're going to be in the space for the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years, right? Making sure that we have a robust foundation to support future, you know, components of this project and the ones that we have coming up.
And I would imagine that, like, Solana and some of their platforms will eventually get their shit together. It's not that, it's just, I think there are certain strengths that like Terra has that they just simply can't be replicated because of the nature and design of the some mix of Solana tokenomics and other factors. And I think that's the same sort of problem I see with sort of several other isolated chains, whether it's Avalanche, whether that is Cardano. Even if they build successful systems, like, the lack of the potential with IBC that Cosmos has, and just the ability to build entire sovereign chains, right? That's a huge thing. Like, for example, on Cosmos, you could build literally, if there was enough gaming and NFT activity going on, you could build a entire sovereign blockchain just for NFTs, and or just for gaming if you wanted to, right? Like, imagine the osmosis of NFTs, the Terra of NFTs. You can't really do that very easily on other layer ones. You would eventually become like, or you have the rent seeking problem where your transaction fees and all that go partly to the layer one. Whereas with Cosmos, eventually if congestion became too substantial, or your project is so amazing, you could build your own chain for it. And especially with the Cosmos shared security model, that becomes even quicker to be able to accomplish such a thing without having to, like, create a validator network of your own. You could create some amazing things on Cosmos over the next few years, whereas other platforms are going to discover that they are becoming increasingly congested and that kind of thing. So yeah, for anyone here that's just a general Terra fan, the NFT space, I think, growing here and, like, more projects deciding to build here is just more bullish for everybody. So the more NFT projects that decide to move from other places to here, it actually helps existing NFT projects as well from a visibility standpoint, in my view.
Yeah, 100%. And again, like as founders, we really are trying to read the signs. And, you know, as much as just like you were saying, like Solana, these other networks, they could kind of find solutions, but I feel like it's really just a Band-Aid. And looking at the potential of NFTs, really where I think we have the potential to thrive and scale, like have the ability to scale, you're absolutely right. I think we're in the right place. And that makes me excited rather than anxious, because that's really how I felt is, you know, you put in so much work. You also, you put all this time in building a community just for something to shit the bed. And to be fair, like there's only so long that people are going to be forgiving, right? Until you will get that trust back as a blockchain and also as like as founders, right? So personally, I'm really excited about the future on Terra and our partner, you know, blockchains within like Cosmos. I'm very, very excited. And for anybody here that, you know, dropped into the space at different times, I just want to give a little bit of a brief before we wrap things up. We are on the Terra network. If you are here from another blockchain, whether it's ETH or Solana, again, there's a lot happening within the space. It's their own personal experience, but either or wherever it is that you're coming from, this community is here with open arms. If not much different in the onboarding capacity when it comes to minting on Terra, within our Discord, if you'd like to join, after you verify, there's even a channel there that says, you know, how to mint and whitelist packs. So there's a whole bunch of things there just within a couple of videos, as well as some safe links for you to set up a Terra Station wallet. It's a Chrome extension wallet, very similar to MetaMask and Phantom for Solana. So if you're familiar with even just that process, it's very much the same. It's just a different extension wallet. And it's a Chrome extension, just the same as the other ones. Okay, so same safe practices, but we do have some safe links as well as a YouTube video in our Discord. That's actually one thing that I didn't see enough of within the Terra project is just this assumption that people will know what kind of wallet they need.
I found that process a little bit unintuitive, I guess. For example, like on the Terra Station phone app, there's nothing related to NFTs, I don't think, unless I missed it. And then on the Chrome extension, it's not obvious. And then it kind of takes you to, you go to the terrastation.io page, and then you've got like this NFT section there. I mean, the entire process still is a little bit too... like it's just not newbie friendly enough, in my opinion. It like they need to do some work for sure.
Exactly. So yeah, that's why we posted the link to the Chrome extension. Plus, also there is a YouTube video there. And then you know, if anybody has questions, we have an amazing community. But we're here with open arms. There's been a few people I've seen. I haven't gotten a chance to go to my inbox, but if you are curious about the collection, whitelist is still open. We're going to be announcing our mint date in about a week, as well as where we're going to be minting. Our collection has 4,444 anarchists, and our whitelist, we have 1,500 spots for whitelist, and that's still open. If you join our Discord, we've got three factions, which are, you know, you could pick a role within Discord. There's instructions there, but we have lots of different ways that you can win, either completing a mission, or if you invite people, or even just being engaged in the server, lots of contests. There's a lot of ways right now to get on the wait list. I anticipate within the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a big growth spurt. We've been a little bit hush-hush up to now, but things are progressing relatively quickly. So we're excited for everybody that's been able to join in on the space. Steffi, thank you so much for being up for doing this too. Do you have any like closing statements to make? It's been really great chance to get to know you one-on-one today.
Yeah, it's been fun. Nothing in particular. I think I'm sort of enjoying like figuring out like the parlance and the like concept behind the different NFT components, you know, and trying to figure out how to navigate it a little bit. You know, if I spend more time like doing like Discord and Telegram stuff, I just won't have any time to do this. Cause like what I like about Twitter Spaces in particular is like in between work, you know, if I've got an hour here and there, my work is flexible enough. I can sort of jump around a little, but if I start, you know, typing a bunch on Telegram and Discord, like my life is probably going to be screwed. So that's the reason why I don't really get into that. And that's why maybe, because a lot of the whitelisting and all that process with a lot of different projects, like the communities that, you know, developed happened in those spaces. That's probably why I didn't get as like deep down the rabbit hole, you know, in it. But, and I'm not sure that I plan to, I'm just trying not to divide my time up too much with like too much shit going on. But yeah, it's been great.
How about this? We could do a little for your community. What if we do like a little bit of like a little contest for your community? You and I can chat about it in the DMs a bit, where we can reserve a number of whitelist spots, as well as do like a little, we're intending to do this, but we've got another contest that kind of overlapped with the Super Bowl one, but maybe next week we can do a little whitelist / NFT giveaway contest for you and your community, if you're up
for
it.
That might be fun. Yeah, because some of the DeFi crowd, like, you know, depending on, especially if they're developers and things like that, they just don't have time to be, unfortunately, spending as much time. They might want to rep they might like to rep certain NFTs or whatever, but they just don't have the time to really get deep into whitelists and such. And I think that represents some people for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's why we've had these contests. So we'll talk about it in the DMs and we'll coordinate something with you for this following week. Also, I know we have Deployed in here and he wasn't able to talk, but we're going to be hosting some more spaces talking about some, you know, specific components of the project, like the DAO, like, you know, yield farming, things like that. So we'd love to host another space with you where we can kind of tackle this as our community grows, and get some ideas brewing when it comes to, how to utilize the DAO, and really, yeah, take full advantage of what we've got going within the Terra Luna, network for protocols and all that.
For sure. And I think we'll have more to talk about, like maybe within about a month or so. There's so much stuff coming, and hopefully there's a lot of like fresh opportunities from that perspective coming. And I think, you know, I've done some of these in like smaller sessions with some developers, but the thing is Twitter Space is like everyone can benefit from it as opposed to like one developer or one DAO. Cause a lot of the types of things that I talk about would benefit almost anyone. And it's not like if you're first to doing it, you're somehow like, you know, the opportunity won't be there. Like most of the stuff I talk about is more things that would benefit practically everyone, practically all the time, no matter how many people are participating in it, as opposed to like, you know, like certain types of strategies that might become crowded, for example. So yeah, we'll see. There's a lot of stuff coming, and hopefully everyone stays tuned into all the different ideas coming to Terra and NFTs. So very good, guys.
All right. Well, y'all have an amazing day, an amazing Super Bowl Sunday or family day, however it is you're going to spend that. Keep an eye out on Seffy and also the Anarchist account. If you want to, make sure to go to the profile and hit the notifications bell there, so that if we do hold a contest, which I know that we will between the two of us, we've always got, you know, things going on. You'll be able to take advantage of that and benefit, because I totally understand what Steffi said. There's people who are big fans, but you got life going on. So we're going to make sure to have some sort of opportunity so that, you know, even the people who maybe they're stretched a little thin in real life are going to have an opportunity to participate and be part of this community as well. So thank you so much, Steffi. Really appreciate you. Thank you to everybody who's dropped in today. I just want to tell you, you know, whether you've got your Anarchist PFP right now or not, I just want to say welcome to the anarchy. Hit the pin above so you can participate within our Super Bowl contest. It's a really, really simple mission or challenge to do. And then keep your eyes peeled. We're going to offer more within the next few weeks to bring you into the community, and we're excited for you to be a part of it. So happy Saturday, everybody. And Don't be a stranger. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Anarchists NFT and CeFi space discussing the future of NFTs and finance, recorded on Saturday, February 12th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by LuArt. LuArt is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. LuArt provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Sipping on a little bit of sin I've been giving. Try to keep it written down so it feels like I've been living. I've been realizing a minute reality ain't got limits. Going out my fucking mind, testing out the physics, stretching out the distance. For instance, let me be specific. The risk is hedge funding the business, betting on the difference, ingesting all the research, sleeping through the rebirth, sliding out feet first. Sleep tight, little dreamer. Early to bed, early to rise with a rugged ass demeanor. Taking beats to the cleaners. You know I love my t-shirts and the people who support my little dream here. Transparent cows, I gotta steer clear. 2020 going down is one fucking weird year. Take a second look around, the psyops is winning. Set the table, we just biopsy dinner.
Now I'm gonna react to that and act like I'm telling you a personal anecdote. Something to break the tension, something to endear myself a little bit, something kind of embarrassing. And you guys are gonna make an awe sound. It's true. It really happened.
They got a tracker in the phone, tracking everywhere we go. And it's fine if I don't know. I already sold my soul. Getting ready, rock and roll. Tip the first domino. Feeling up, I'm in a bowl with these avalanche flows. Stop and rest on the road. Gotta get where I'm going. And the rest of y'all know that we hit the ground soaring. I'll be coming for the fuckers that be summoning the trouble. Running on the double while I'm handing out the W's. Putting wins on the board every fucking day. They love me on the team because I know my fucking place. Better get in where you fit in. I'm delivering the meaning. I inherited the demons, always sneaky, never seen them. If I'm breathing, I'm reading, I'm not even being conceited. I need to see for myself if you think that I'm believing. It's the season of reason, y'all be ceasing the research. I'm receiving the meaning, that shit's called teamwork.
It's not so much as so little has to do with what everything is, but it is within our self-interest to understand the topography of our lives unto ourselves. The future states that there is no time other than the collapsation of that sensation of the mirror of the memories in which we are living. Common knowledge, but important nonetheless.